and every one of you here today, and I see a lot of visitors, and we're so glad to have you. If you would like to fill out a visitor's card, we have some in the pews as well as some in the fellowship hall if you're over there with that group. The flowers today are given by Bill Shelton in honor of Patricia as she celebrates her birthday, January 27th. So, happy birthday. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we will have church conference, and Wednesday night, we'll have our regular services and choir rehearsal, and on Saturday at 8:30 will be the men's enrichment breakfast. On February the 2nd, we will be taking up a love offering for Pastor Greg and Stephanie, so keep that in mind. And then on February the 9th, we will have our Super Bowl lunch. So there's probably sign-up sheets out for you to sign up if you want to bring a pot of soup or some other things that might be needed. If you want to provide flowers for the sanctuary, there's blue forms available for that if you want to fill that out and give it to Patricia. Let's see. We also have our blessing box out. It's out on the post at the arbor if you see it out there. And there's a list of things that we might need, that we do need for that if you would like to participate in that ministry. Also, the GAs are planning a craft fair to support the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So there's information on the back of the bulletin about that. If you have questions, see Angela White or Kimberly Jones for that. Also, we have a new website. It's BearCreekDavy.com, as well as a new Facebook page, which is Bear Creek Davy. If you have questions, you can see Jody Blackwelder and Chad Trivett may know some about it too, but I know they're working on that. Also in that line, I have put some forms in the little baskets out on the tables if you want to update your information. We're going to try to be getting a new directory updated very soon. I'm working on that, and if you haven't filled out one, please do. And there's a few people I need to get pictures of sometime after church. I'll try to round you up and get your picture made to put in the new directory. So if you'd fill those out, please, and put them back in the basket. We'll try to get that done soon. And hopefully, when we get it all done, we'll be able to go on our new website and see the directory. So, does anyone else have anything they'd like to bring up this morning? If not, let's turn to hymn number 521, On Jordan's Stormy Banks, and stand as we sing.
Cast a wishful eye. Good morning, Bear Creek.
Good morning.
How many of y'all are bound for the promised land? I am. That's right. All of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, just thanking you for the opportunity to be in your house and to serve you. And Lord, we just give you all the credit for all the things that we get each and every week. Lord, we just ask you to be with the offering that we took up today and use it for your glory and to further your kingdom. And for all this, we ask in your name. Amen.
Tells us in the Word that God's mercy endures forever, and we're thankful for you being here this morning and being part of a fellowship and worship to God, and we just hope you open your ears, your heart, and receive what God has for you this morning. Bow with me as we pray. Father, we're so thankful, Father, that you have brought us here by your infinite wisdom, by your grace. Father, you long to lavish love upon every heart, blessing, Father, not even comprehended in our hearts. Father, give us a oneness of spirit. We just lay this service before thy feet. You're worthy of all glory. Have your own precious way. Bless the offering. Bless everything that's done for thy glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Hymn number 147.
Thank you.
Greet each other as the children come up.
What is it? All right, how are we doing this morning? Everybody doing good? Y'all have a good week?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's something y'all did this week?
Went out and
met
me.
Okay. Anybody else have something exciting happen this week?
Me.
What did you do, Thomas?
We went on a trip with my mommy and my dad.
Oh, okay. You went on a trip with mom and dad. That's awesome. Okay, so today we're going to talk about something we can do when we get discouraged or afraid. So has anybody ever had that happen?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you have a math test coming up and you're afraid about it, or something happens to you and you get discouraged or you get down, or maybe you get a little upset about it, right? So we're going to read God's word today and we're going to find out what he says about that. So in Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God will forever go with you wherever you may go." So in this verse, we see that we're told that God will go with us wherever we go, and that when we have these times where we're frightened or we may be dismayed or we're discouraged, that God will always be with us, right? Okay. And this verse right here also goes along with another one that is very, very familiar. It's Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength," right? So whenever we have these times in our life where we may be dismayed, we may be afraid, or we may have troubles, God's always there with us, right? Okay. Who would like to pray? Yeah. Okay. You want to pray first, Josie? Here, mate.
Dear Jesus, thank you for all these people.
That's okay. Thank you for my mommy and daddy.
Thank you for my mom and daddy.
Amen.
Thank you for the Lord. Thank you for all these boys and girls come and let everybody just let Pastor Greg and let my papa just pray for who teach about us, about God, and that would be Greg, Pastor Greg, and Rodney and Papo. And Rodney and Papo, just pray the Lord for and let Pastor Greg come. Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for a few good snow days this winter, unlike other winters in the past. And thank you for all of the people that have come to church today and help the people in Western North Carolina that don't have heat or air or anything, and that's been out in the cold weather. Please, we just pray that they can get some help. Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings you give us, Lord. Thank you for each one of these sweet children, Lord. Thank you for allowing them to be deep in their faith, Lord, and enough to be able to just to worship you, Lord. Help them be a light through their life, Lord, and just help them to show other people your presence, Lord. Just help them to know that when they come through times where they may be dismayed or may be discouraged, that you are always with them and you will always be by our side. In your precious name I pray, amen.
Thank you.
It's been some years ago since I was in Bible college. But one thing I remember when we were in there, they were telling us, if you're preparing a message, there's probably 3 points of the message you should remember. First, you should tell the people what you're going to tell them. And then secondly, tell them. And then thirdly, tell them what you told them. And hopefully we'll cover that today. Name or the title of my message is God's Unrelentless Love. And you find God's love from him crying out for Adam in the very beginning of the scriptures. Where are you, Adam? And God never relinquishes that call and love trying to get man back. John 3:16 is an absolutely incredible verse that tells us that God so loved. So is a word we shouldn't pass over in the scripture. When God says that, that's the highest word he can use to express his love. He so loved. And then he qualified it by the world. He loved the world. It was a very broad, infinite love. In fact, the thing we need to understand about God's love is he does not have love. He is love. That out of his love, everything protrudes and goes forward. So he, in that love, he is reaching out to get man back to him. And so even till today, he's given us 6,000 years in which to reach out and try to call men back to himself. And what a loving God. He doesn't give up easy. He works and gives us a lifetime to find him. And the reason he has to do that is because he gave man a free will. He wants our love in a sense of you just surrender and see his love. Of course, he betrayed his love on Calvary. He couldn't say it any greater. He gave his only begotten son. He gave the very most he could absolutely pay from heaven to purchase. And that was telling us how much he valued every soul. And so it is probably the sadness of heart that any perish. I mean, if anybody thinks that God, as he's accused of, why would God let anything that's going on in the world today? Why does he let that happen? Well, I'll say this. We live in a broken world because of sin. And God said and put another verse that we should include in that. It's Romans 8:28. He says, for God knows that his love is that, and I can't think of that verse. Anybody help me? 8:28. Amen. You know it. Thank God. All things work together for good to them that what? Love God. And there's that word again. All. All things work together for good. So this tells me that God in the beginning, he looked at all the evil that was out there. And that didn't deter his love from still planning a salvation. He says, I know what I'm going to do. I'll send my son and I'll pay for all that sin. I'll pay for all that. I'll pay it myself. I'll take it on my own self. I'll put it on the cross and I'll cancel it. And then I can freely open the doors of grace and I can invite everybody to come in. And so we can come in through that fabulous way. And let me tell you, that's the greatest way, because if he had a better plan, he would have used that. This has to be the greatest way. And then it's to get us to an eternal destination, an eternal intent. Had there not been sent, this was his eternal intent. He wanted to populate heaven with millions and billions of people just like his son, so that we would have one eternal glorious fellowship in heaven together. And mention these words, so and everything. You know, I'll be talking on these things today, but I won't do it justice. I'll talk about heaven, but, you know, if we think we know what heaven looks like, it's far greater, let me tell you. Whatever I can say, it's far greater than I can describe. And even in God's love, his unrelentless love, it'll be far short from the amazing love that God has. And then lastly, and to put in there, it still reflects God give us a free will. In all of his love, in all of his payment, in all of his years of relentless pursuing us and to call us back, he still will accept with his heart broken if we say no to it. As would be in any family if a son turns on a father and the hurt that would be there. But he's willing to pay even the price of losing you, not to make you come to the Son. What glorious love. Our scripture is found in Mark 4:35. And let me give you a background of this scripture, and then we'll read this verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer. It begins this chapter with him set by the seashore. In fact, he enters a ship that he's going to start preaching to the people. And it says that all day he preached parables. Parables were something to keep truth back that he didn't readily reveal to the people that didn't understand the parables. At the end of this, he does say that later on he went by and he explained these things to his disciples so they would have knowledge of it. But then we come to Mark 4:35, and it says this, "And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now, that it was the same day, but it was at even, this tells me that the Lord Jesus sat down and spoke all day long. Wow, what a compassionate Savior. He spoke to these people until finally it was too dark, or his voice would give way. I was going to tell you, if my voice gave way, I'm going to blame it on my Sunday school class. I spoke so long in there, I was losing my voice. And I said, wait a minute, I'm going to have to pray because I got to leave some voice to preach on. But anyway, but he spoke all day, and it says even was come. And then he makes this request. He says, let us pass over to the other side. And out of that, these are the words of Jesus, those six words. I want to show us that first and foremost, the greatest invitation. It's in those first two words, let us. Let us. You know, God doesn't want any man to perish. He says this time and time in his scriptures that he doesn't want men to perish. And in 1 Corinthians it says, but it is written, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. He doesn't want to lose any, and so it's universal. It means that it was to the whole world, for God so loved the world. Now, God never intends or wills anything and changes his mind. He wants all men to be saved. It tells us in Titus that he would have all men to come into the knowledge of truth and not to perish. He would have all men to. So if you think that God wants anybody in hell, he doesn't. Everyone he loses, he didn't want to lose. I would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And so, in our weak way of preaching this morning, what are we doing? We're still making that unrelentless love call of God and saying, if you haven't yet found the Savior, he's calling for you. He's already paid the price. He's already still dealing with grace. He'll never change his love. And he rolls out grace like a carpet. And he says, please don't perish. And he uses that word in John 3:16. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, see, he didn't restrict that, whosoever, everybody, anybody can believe on him. And then he says it, and shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, what a God, what a love he has for us. And he still longs for that. And we'll be like Noah preaching it to, he finally comes and takes the church home, inviting people to please come. If there's any time to accept Jesus Christ, it's now. We're getting toward the end. He only said he'd given men about a little over 6,000 years. And it don't take too much calculating on your hand to know that we're at the end of 6,000 years of biblical history. And we're closer than we've ever been. Paul says the day is far spent, the night is at hand. And our hope is closer than it's ever been before in that. So the greatest invitation is to all men to let us be saved. And it goes to all men. Secondly, it's unconditional. It cannot be disqualify anybody. In John 6:37, Jesus is talking to the people and he says, he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Now, when God says something, he don't take it back. And he means what he says. And thank God, when I accepted Christ at 16, God has never cast me out. He's 50-some years. Oh, I'm so glad that I accepted him, and I wish I'd even did it earlier. But God says there, in a word of eternal security, you come to me. I lost you once to sin, but you come to me, and I paid the price, and you come to me, and I'll never cast you out. You're mine forever. The devil's lost, and I paid the price, and I'm just inviting you to come. Because that's what the message says. Second, we see this. We see the greatest destination. He says, let us go to the other side. Well, that's what salvation for is, to get us out of this sin-sick world and one day be in glory with him. There's two ways you can go. Certainly, if you, I say, live long enough, then you can pass on, I call full circle. You can go through the grave, and then one day he's going to resurrect us up. And we'll be in heaven with him. But secondly, Jesus Christ could come today. And we always look for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. He could come today and say, well, and he says, he that believeth me, though he be alive, yet shall he never die. He said that when he was raising Lazarus. Lazarus had died, and he said, yet though he be dead, yet shall he live. And Lazarus he called forth. And he says, but if he be alive, he shall never die. It's the first hint we have that there was going to be a rapture taken out, catching up of the redeemed one day. The greatest destination, though, is to the other side, heaven. And again, I say, I can't say enough good things. I wish I could paint a picture. I've heard often people said if God would just peel back the curtain of heaven one day just to let the world peek in, they'd be over and rushing and killing each other to get there because they want to be there. I can't do it justice, but let me tell you, I've got enough that I do know that makes me want to be there. Paul even saw this and he said, oh, he says, to be out of this body and be with the Lord, I'd love to be. He says, I guess it's just needful that I be here with you, but he said, I long to be there. And I think all of us have that homecoming longing in our heart. My wife died 4 years ago. She told me time and time again when she was sick. She said, I'm tired. I just want to go home. And she got her wish and she went home. But see, this tells me here, I'm going over there. I'll see loved ones again. I'll see mom again, dad again, my grandparents. I'll see friends and loved ones that are already gone. Oh, just a reunion alone. We should come and sign up and say, I don't want to miss that great reunion. I want that destination, a place where there's no heartache, no tears that we sing. There is nothing in this life, no mailboxes to get bills. Amen. Anybody want to sign up right now? Everything's already paid. It's not only joy, it's eternal joy. It says in God's presence is a joy forevermore. Evermore, we don't want to lose that. Oh, I want to go to that destination. Yeah, heaven is far better than we can conceive. And all of us start to have more and more. The older we get, we got more and more over on the other side to draw us to that side. And so it is. And the third thing I want to look at is the greatest transportation. It says, let us pass over. Pass over really goes back to the first time you think about it in Exodus, where the Passover lamb was slain, and the Hebrew children that believed that would go and put blood on the doorpost of their house, and then they took that lamb in and they roasted the lamb, they ate that lamb during the night. Well, during that night, it says the death angel of the Lord passed over Egypt. And then it's like God spoke to himself. He says, you didn't have to see the blood. He says, When I see the blood, I will pass over. And that plague won't be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, that promise still holds true because our Passover lamb was slain 2,000 years ago. And as they had blood on the doorpost, his hands were extended. As they had blood above the doorpost, that's where the crown of thorns was. And where the blood from his side and from his feet, it flowed and hit the ground. So it was that it made a full barrier, and Christ says, I am the door. Any man that enters in me enters into green pasture, and we become his sheep. And so he invites, again, all men to come and pass over out of the cost of his death, his burial, his resurrection. He's paid it all. That's the greatest Passover there'll ever be for us in today. You might say God purchased the ticket. In Romans 8:32, he said, for if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? He wants to give us an inheritance in heaven that it tells us in Ephesians, it'll take ages upon ages upon ages for you even start realizing how gracious a God we have, that he'll lavish on this grace for ages to come as we're called to be with him. And again, I like to say the Son purchased a ticket with the life and the death on the cross, Exodus 13, which we've just explained. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're really saying is, you know, I can't pay the fare for this trip. Do you have a way? And God reaches down in grace and offers you a ticket. But it was through his Son's sacrifice. But even though he says, I don't want you to perish, I paid the price. Here's the ticket. God can't just give it to you. You've got to come and take it by faith. That's why he says without faith it's impossible to please him. He's not pleased when people don't accept a ticket and go to where his son is going to get them. The blood has qualified us in that sense. It removes sin. And let me tell you today on the authority of God's word, you'll never go to hell because of your sin. You will go to hell because you rejected the ticket. God made it that simple. You'll miss it by just taking by faith the ticket and saying, I want that. I didn't pay for it. I don't deserve it. But see, that wasn't it. God says, I qualified you because I want to buy you back. And he'll keep. He keeps us because of that. And fourthly, I might say this, the greatest time to respond is now. Romans 13:12 really tells us that it's the limitations of man. See if I got it. That's where he said the night is far spent, the day is at hand. 6,000 years are up. We're closer than we've ever been. In fact, we see so many signs today that we stop looking for signs. We're just listening for sounds. We're listening to go up. And what we're saying by that is Christ said, when you just begin to see these things occur, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. I think we're the rapture generation. I think we're, if the Lord spares me to live just a little longer, I'll get to go up in the air with the Lord calling us home. And I'm glad to be part of that. You say, well, how do you know? There's only one sign I look at predominantly. He says, in the last days, I'm going to draw all my people that have been scattered for over 2,000 years. And I'm going to bring them back, and I'm going to put them in a little piece of land. And Israel's going to come back. Well, it was in 1948, May 14th. They raised their flag, and they declared themselves to be a nation reborn. They said it couldn't happen. Says in Isaiah, how can a nation be born in a day? But they were. And so they were there. And then Jesus, not any other prophet, not any of the Old Testament prophets, Jesus himself said, if the generation that sees that sign, he says, that generation will not pass away. See, to see it means you got to see it happen. That generation that saw it, and we've seen it in our generation, shall not pass away. Well, the last phrase of that, it says that, you remember, and even was come. Christ was indicating the day is far spent. nights coming on us. And there's seven more critical days, or I should say, of tribulation that will be coming after the church is removed. And so what am I saying now is the day of salvation. If you want to wait till tomorrow, it's too late. Or tomorrow isn't even here. I should say, if you're waiting for yesterday, it's gone. If you're waiting for tomorrow, you'll never reach there, because by the time you get to tomorrow, guess what? It's not tomorrow, it's today. So anywhere you want to look in your life, it's now. So anytime you're going to receive Christ, it's going to be now. And so here's my heart's cry, simple gospel, that Christ has made the greatest invitation to everybody. He's made the greatest destination, because he says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. It's far greater than I can say it is. But I can tell you this with all authority, that God's love and relentless love still cries out, don't perish. Don't perish. Take the ticket. Don't pass over this any longer. And you say, well, maybe I'll have another chance. Well, think of this. Whatever age you are, he's already given you that many years to have a chance. It says in 1 Peter 3, it says that God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe, I'm so thankful that God's waited 2,000 years to get Perry Hampton there. I'm so glad that he didn't wait just, 1,949 years. I would have missed it by a year. If you're here today, that means you're one of God's plan. He purposed to have you, that he could call you and win you back to himself. Would you consider now, however God deals with your heart, whatever he said to you, that you not overlook these simple six words of Jesus? Have you responded to the greatest invitation? Let us. How are you looking and thinking of the greatest destination of heaven that you would miss if you don't enter? But there's only one transportation, that's through his son, and that's the great Passover. But now is the greatest opportunity. Now is the greatest time that we respond to him. Bow with me as we pray. Father, we're so thankful, Father, that our salvation was so thought out by a loving God, that our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Father, he wouldn't have to take a name out if it was never written in there. But Father, there's going to be those that will not respond to the ticket. But Father, you would have had all of us to be saved, all of us to be on that roll. And I'm thankful, Father, for your salvation. It's still free. It's still, Father, graciously given, graciously offered. But Father, I'd pray the Holy Spirit might speak to a heart that of the earnestness of our time and where their heart stands with you. And may none perish, but may they come and find everlasting life in Jesus Christ. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, I ask you to come up, if you will, for the invitation.
Hymn number 502.
My eyes that I may see, vindicate. And what a message Perry gave us. You know, today is the day. We can't live in the past. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And then we're also told by God's word, call on the Lord while he may be found. Perry left us with a wonderful message to call on the Lord while he may be found today. I'm going to dismiss this with prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your abundant love, Father. The mercy you've given us, Father, through your grace, through your salvation, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, you emptied yourself so we may be redeemed to the Father. Father, all we have to do is just reach out and accept that gift, Father. You didn't make it hard. You didn't make it a mystery. You didn't hide it from us. Father, you just said, receive me. Father, I just pray if there's any here that haven't received you, Father, that you'll convict their heart. Father, we just pray that we will go with your love throughout the week and share your gospel and your message with others. Father, thank you for us. In your holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.